Hey, everyone listening to the podcast, this is Ari Melber, and as you can tell from me addressing you, we have something special, a podcast extra for you today. I want to mention you can always connect with me, of course, through the pods. We're glad you listen to it, but also online. You can find me at Ari Melber, or you can visit me at arimelber.com and sign up for my newsletter. I have a free newsletter there. It's a way that I'm keeping in touch with a lot of you, and I know some of you are reading because I read the comments and you guys have been engaging. So go now to arimelber.com, sign up for the newsletter. Now, let me tell you right now about this podcast extra. I went down to Atlanta, and everything you're about to hear is extended. This is more than we were able to air on TV, so it's special for you, our podcast listeners. An extended discussion of civil rights, policing, Black Lives Matter, music, and culture with one of the most popular artists today, Lil Baby. This entire thing I recorded for you, you're going to hear us talk unedited, back and forth about his life, about his work, about his meeting with Vice President Harris, about how he knew some of George Floyd's family even before that tragic incident, and how he brings those experiences and relationships to the way he deals with so many challenges today, including the way he engages in the BLM movement. If you don't know a Lil Baby, and some people may not, I'm telling you, he is a special young artist. And if you don't know him, I bet you a lot of people you know, or maybe your kids do. In fact, his anthem, The Bigger Picture, was considered, according to Streaming and Listens, the most played Black Lives Matter anthem of 2020. Kind of a Bob Dylan of our current era. So without further ado, here it is, me and Lil Baby, a special podcast extra interview for you on The Beat with Ari Melber.
What's up, y'all? This is Common.
Got the Russian right here.
DJ MV.
Yo, it's Ghostface.
Are you checking out The Beat with Ari Melber?
The Beat, baby.
We about to light one up for Ari.
You know why? Because he speak English.
The whole Wu-Tang is behind me.
Yeah.
Bong, bong, bong. And this is The Beat.
This is The Beat with Ari Melber, and we have a very special interview today with the platinum artist, most popular rapper of 2020, Lil Baby. Thanks for being here.
How you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for asking. How are you doing?
I'm all right.
Let's start with, tell me where we are here in Atlanta.
Yeah, the studio. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, my studio in Atlanta. It's actually in the heart of Atlanta. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people don't even know I got a studio.
Yeah.
But
you do.
I definitely do. And we in one of the rooms. I've recorded in this room a lot, but I don't record in this room. It's like everybody else's room. They kind of turned up in here, too.
Well, thank you for letting us do the interview in here. We were walking around, so yeah, there's this room, and then adjacent, there's another large room.
Right. That's where I record in the other room. That sofa, I be going to sleep in there a lot.
So when do you like to record? How do you get in your vibe?
Honestly, I record it like 6 o'clock in the morning to like now.
Yeah.
Like noon. Because I'd be so tired in the daytime from running around, I might fall asleep at like 9 or 10. Something like that.
So you're an early riser, and that's when you feel creative, like right in the morning.
Right, because I ain't nobody calling me and nothing. Everybody else still asleep. So while everybody sleep, that's why I can get in. Like I'm up early in the morning, I'm up.
That's like the old U.S. Marines slogan. They said they get more done before 10 a.m. than most people do all day. I guess
yeah,
that's you.
Yeah, that's me.
So in this room, we got your new project with Durkio there behind you.
Yeah.
I saw the double platinum plaque in the room you record in. When you started making these songs in this studio, did you feel like you knew exactly where they would go, or you just let it lay out?
I kind of just lay it out. I don't never really like I'm aiming for the stars every time, you know what I'm saying? But I don't got like no limit on it, so I can't say I'm shooting for this. Yeah, I'm shooting for the best every time. So whatever it gets to, whatever it does, I'm cool with it. Yeah.
A lot of people around you say you're you.
Right.
You're real. You're natural.
Right.
You came out of time in prison,
right,
started rapping,
right,
and blew up immediately. I mean, you know, a lot of people,
right,
have spent more time and they're older than you trying to get where you got very quickly.
Right.
Do you know why that is? Do you know why you blew up quickly? Do you think about it?
Yeah, I think about it a lot, but I try not to think about it too, though. You feel me? Like, number one, I got a great team. Number two, like, people can relate to my music. And this is not, like, number one. Number two, like, in that order. And then for the most part, I just feel like it's like God. It's like, this gotta be what's meant for me, because I ain't try to do it. It's like, it gotta be what's meant. I don't even think about rapping. Like, even now in my position, when I just go in the studio, I just rap. Yeah, like none I done thought about all day or nothing. I I just rap.
Tell us about that, because some of the news viewers, right, they might know you from their kids.
Right.
Or the amazing Grammy performance, which I'd love to talk about.
Right.
But they might not know how you do this. Do you write it in advance? Where does it come from?
It just come from my head. Like, in my soul, for real. I'm telling you, like, when I try to write something, I don't get the same deliverance from when I just go in the studio and just rap. So I really rap about, like, everyday life, like, what's going on. Like, that's what kind of rapper I am.
All right, so I have a really basic question then, right?
Right.
If you don't write it in advance,
right,
then you come in the studio, you lay it down.
Right.
As I mentioned, these songs are everywhere, 2020 most streamed rapper.
Right.
Then you go perform. When do you memorize all the lyrics?
We listen to music all day. And that's all we do. Like, especially if I make a song, when I make a song, we might listen to that same song for like 3-4 days straight.
So do you ever come back and hear it and think, oh, I forgot, or oh, how that's how I said it, now I'm learning it, but
yeah,
you're learning from your recent self.
A lot. Yeah. Like, that's how I'm learning now. Like, I just go back to my old music sometimes, because, like, I drop so much music and I make so much music, we don't really listen to the old music. You hear me?
Mm-hmm.
And every now and then we'll get a chance to just, like, or somebody will play a song around, and I'm like, I forgot about this. Then I go back and listen to that time of music, then I could feel a certain type of way because I, like, know how I was living at that time, or, like, what was going on, like, I can remember vividly. So then now how I think and how I live, I take that same little aspect and I just, like, talk about how I do it now.
The way you flow,
right,
it has a drawl,
right,
but is it something that you develop? Like, in the old days, some rappers would say, oh, they talk like this, then they would develop their rhyming
right,
style.
I think I got it. People be saying that, and I ain't never know what they mean by that. Like, you sound like you rap. Like, you talk like you rap. Like, but in my mind, I'm thinking, how else am I supposed to sound?
Right.
You feel me?
Well, even, go ahead.
But like you saying, like, in the old days, or even probably now, some people, like, they create a voice for music, and then they talk different. But I don't know about that.
Right, so for you, it's all one. I mean, even Drake, who you've made great music with,
right,
he'd be the first to say that he tries more than one flow.
Right.
He has a when he's playing with drill or the Jamaica sound.
Yeah, it's like you try another flow, but it still sound like Drake to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't matter what flow you sound or what flow I try or any pitch I go or any kind of way it's going to sound like me to me. You feel me? Like, and Drake, I hear all his songs, so they still sound like Drake, even if it's a different tone. Like, sound like Drake, it sound like how you talk. So he ain't like, I don't get that part yet. Like, yeah. I ain't really met nobody like, damn, you sound totally different. You feel me? Like, I ain't met nobody like that yet.
Yeah, I know what you mean. So we're here in your studio in Atlanta.
Right.
You're here. You spend a lot of time here when you're not working or touring.
Right.
You could be anywhere in the world. You know, Notorious B.I.G. said you could be anywhere in the world. But you're here with us, and we appreciate that.
Right.
Well, why is it important to you to still be here? I mean, you on Instagram talking about 100M, and you could be anywhere. Why is it important to be here?
Number one, my kids.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what, like, draw me to Atlanta a lot. You feel me? That's how I can see them a little bit. You feel me? Not much as I want to or whatever. But that's, like, the main part. You feel me? And it's, like, home. My mom and them, my family. Like, I try to, like, get it together before I leave again, because I'm leaving again for sure.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so few days and I'm gone.
So we're not going to see announcement Lil Baby's posted up in L.A. or Hong Kong for 2 years.
Yeah. I mean, I got spots everywhere already. Like, but I don't know. It's going to be kind of hard because I'm, like, family-oriented.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my grandma want to eat every month. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Well, she want to eat every week. You know what I mean? But it's... I don't know, that'd be hard for me.
How does your grandma feel about everything that's happened just these past, basically, 3-4 years?
I don't know, they still probably don't grasp it as much, you know what I'm saying? Like, every day it gets, like, bigger and weirder, you know what I mean?
What's the weirdest?
Like, just, like, the response you get from people, or, like, when people find out, like, you know, like, you might get a note in your mailbox or something, or when at first it wasn't nothing, then you might have people call your house, like, it just get, like, deeper and deeper. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
To a regular person who's been living their life without that, who never even seen that, or even, you really don't even fathom that type of stuff. You know, you might see it on TV, and you, But you don't really put yourself in that position because it's like, you know, you ain't going that way in life. Mm-hmm. Like a celebrity, people who got like stalkers or people outside or people. You see that type of stuff on TV, but you don't really imagine it to you because you ain't even trying to go, like, it's nothing that's going to do that for you. Then boom, I become a rapper. And then now it's like, we somebody.
So how long have you been a rapper?
Like 4 years.
So when you were in, you did about a 2-year bid?
Right.
You weren't rapping in the, inside?
At all. Now, a couple of times, you know, you get bored, you'll do anything in there. Like, I done wrote a rap probably like 2 times, mm-hmm. 3 times or something. Yeah. But in my head, I already had my mind made up, like, I'm gonna try to rap.
Because
like,
of the people you knew? You knew Young Thug, you knew people in the neighborhood?
It's like people been like, try to rap. But I ain't want to try to rap at that time. But then in jail, you just bored, and I'm just thinking about stuff and stuff. But I really was on some, like, QC who I'm signed to. Mm-hmm. Like, they like family. So, like, I've been around them the whole time. So I really was on some, like, I just know so many people who rap, who hard. I'm going to just try to, like, turn them on the P. You feel me?
Yeah.
Like, that was one of my thoughts. You feel me? Then I was like, I might try to rap. My first day out, I came to the studio, P Studio. I try to rap. I'm like, hell, no, I ain't gonna work like that.
So like, first day, you're at
my first day out, I went to the studio.
You rap, and how are you feeling when you're doing that?
Nah,
rap?
Like, I ain't gonna be no rapper.
Why?
I'm like, I ain't gonna rap. Ain't sound right. I ain't even feel right. Like trying to rap.
But you've been around it so much, as you say.
So I know how to kind of do it already. Like how to do it because I've been around it. I know, like it's something I done seen before a lot. So when I go in there and try, I know what to do. I know how to. I paid an engineer, I paid somebody for a beat, you hear me? And then I just tried to rap. Then I'm like, I don't even know where that song is. It's probably still on the computer because they had like a A, B, C room and then like a D room that's like super small that nobody go in. So I already know nobody don't go in there. I done went in there like on like at nighttime after it's like the first day I got out. So everybody pulling up on me and shit. So then I go in the room, I try to rap, I try to come up with a song, but it wasn't right at all.
So what was the difference from seeing people you knew do it to when you stepped in it yourself, like how you felt?
Yeah, I just felt like it wasn't for me. Mm. I'm like, rapping ain't for me. Like, I already felt like that. Then probably just in jail, bored, I convinced myself that, all right, I'm going to try it. So when I got out, I tried it. And then it was like, nah.
So let's take that to, you said your grandma may not even appreciate all the different things that are happening.
Right.
But I bet she, like a lot of people, can appreciate that President Obama put you on his new playlist.
Right. Exactly.
What's that mean?
See, now that type of stuff, what I mean, like, by that's the whole difference versus thinking you maybe never even could be in the same sentence as Obama mm-hmm. to, like, my grandson is on Obama's playlist.
Like, he likes what you do.
You get what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. it's like that. I don't know what it do to their mind or whatever, but my grandma and them, they like very humble. They don't really like, I don't know, they ain't really like into the lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of like on the back. She just like, what she like? She just like traveling. Now, at first she didn't even want to go nowhere. Now she just like traveling. Chill out.
She does like traveling with you.
Right. Not with me. She'll go on her own to somewhere I got to go.
She'll go separately and then see you there.
Yeah, something like that.
Why does she like it that way?
Cause like she don't want to be in the life, like
yeah.
cameras and people, entourage. They ain't into that type of stuff.
Yeah.
She don't even want no security. Like she's like, I'm good. Like, cause nobody don't know what she look like or
right.
know who she is. You wouldn't know if she walked in right now. So she like, I like it like that. You feel me? I don't even want to be known. I'd rather just know it. Like, cause you still gonna, she'll still probably get on the jet. You know what I'm saying? Nice hotel. Go to the show backstage and go on somewhere with nobody. She'd rather, and it's kind of better that way than running with me and getting sweaty.
You're teaching me something today, which is it might be better to be Lil Baby's grandmother than to be Lil Baby some days.
Right. On the back, it's always better than the backstage, yeah.
Yeah.
The front scene is a lot.
It's a lot. Well, and that goes to, so that's Obama. Then Complex, which is a big hip hop outlet. They say you were best rapper alive 2020.
Right. That's grown. And like a lot of stuff I don't put in my head, so I don't like getting a big head. Like,
you don't want to make that change.
I don't even talk like that. Like,
yeah.
My lady would send me stuff to post all day. I don't post
about that kind of stuff.
I got one plaque in here.
Oh, I saw the double platinum plaque.
Yeah.
I want to see it with you in a minute.
But I got songs that's almost diamond. Like,
diamond is 10 million?
Yeah.
Wow.
Drip too hard.
Drip too hard, yeah.
It's like 9-time platinum. But I'm like, I ain't at my limit, so I ain't into like plaques and stuff or even like bragging or, cause it's like, that's like, at a cap, you know what I'm saying? I ain't at my cap to even, I don't even order plaques, you know?
Help me understand that. You're saying that's plaque you happen to have, but if you don't order
I got that plaque, cause I'm like, the only double album that went double platinum in 2020.
Yeah.
Like, that's not gonna change or happen. Nothing can happen. Like, meaning, I got songs that's 4-time platinum. They might go diamond. I don't want a 4-time platinum.
So you
platinum
don't bother getting the 4 when you're on your way to 10 million.
Right.
Oh, I see.
You gotta go there. Now, that plaque is the only plaque I got, because that's something that's not gonna.
I love that. Other people are here.
And they got a wall full of plaques. I think I got like 90 certifications.
Right. Other people are going, oh my God, this is my single or quadruple platinum. You're saying that's a limit. That's a ceiling. You're not gonna.
Yeah, it's like it's over with after that. Nah, I ain't on that.
I like that. Well, here's
when I get older, then I probably get like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Enough plaques that's like all like the ones.
Right. Mm-hmm. I'm going to throw one more plaque style statement at you. Everybody knows Rolling Stone.
Right.
Biggest music magazine in the world.
Right.
I'm reading from Rolling Stone.
Right.
Lil Baby is by many metrics the most popular rapper in the world right now.
Right.
What's that mean? And do you know that?
I try not to fathom too much stuff, because that's what I was saying, you know, and we went to another conversation. But
yeah.
I try not to fathom it so they don't, like, psych me out to act like that or think like that.
Yeah.
Like, I sit in there like I'm a regular person, like everybody in.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to walk in like, yeah, I'm the biggest rapper in the world. That's, like, corny to me.
And yet a lot of rappers, I mean,
a lot of rappers... You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They different from
I like that. Can we talk about the bigger picture?
Definitely.
So a lot of people who follow the news might know you from that specifically.
Definitely. A lot of people.
Tell me about that. Like when you sat down and said, I'm going to say something about this.
Nah,
you live it, but.
I just say, for instance, like my girlfriend. Like, I don't really, I'm not into social media like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I post on social media, you know, I interact, but I don't really catch the what's going on or what people saying. But at the time, everything going on, everybody like, baby don't say nothing. Because I don't really want to just speak on situations, you know what I mean? Like, especially when I don't know the whole backstory or then something I say get misinterpreted. So I'm quiet on anything that's just like that far as me. Posting something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a rapper.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
It'd be accepted more when you rap it than just typing it.
You speak through your art.
Yeah, I speak through my art. So it's like, even like people like you, I'm like, no, I ain't posting nothing. Like, it don't work like that. Like, because I really feel some type of way about the whole situation. So I'm not going to be like a George Floyd advocate only. You feel me? Like, okay, this happened to George Floyd, so I'm gonna go this way. It's like deeper than that with me. You feel me? Like, I know people personally who got killed by the police. You feel me? So it's like, that'd be like the fake me to just, like, post about this. I ain't even never posted about somebody I know who going through this, because I ain't ready to attack this like that. You feel me?
I feel you. You're saying that on the internet, people are coming and asking you to speak out on this incident.
Right.
This horrific incident in Minnesota.
Right.
And you're saying you know people who've been killed by police and you didn't even post about it then because that's not how you relate to this.
It's that. The posting, they don't really do nothing for the situation. Like, but I get it, okay, people follow me now. That's how I used to think. Like, I always, like, I ain't getting in the business, it ain't mine. But then now I kind of feel like for even people to be like, why baby ain't saying nothing? It's like my business. Like, damn. Like, because I know them personally, like, even George Floyd, like, George Floyd's niece is, like, my man Stats' goddaughter. Stats will play basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my personal friends, they cool. So, like, the day that it happened, they went to Minnesota the first night. Like, this
and
is
And that's
my,
before it became such a large...
This before it became a large situation and nothing, or nothing. Like, that's how I went to the White House with George Floyd's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
You hear me? Like, the whole, from the time of the whole situation, I was, like, in tune with them. Not, because I already talked to this person just on a daily. Man, I'm just trying to get little restaurants around Atlanta, little stuff like that. So we cool on that level. He own restaurant 10, like right in front of Georgia Dome. So we just cool on the business level. And then this happens. Then he like, I got to go to Minnesota. I got to fly out, telling me what happened. So then when I see it on the internet, I'm like, damn, it's the same situation. Like, so now I'm asking him, like, what's really going on the whole time? Like, what's really going on? I see stuff that people posting, even like celebrities, it's not really what's what, and they giving like a missionary. But I'm really in the phone, like, from the time it happened to like court, like, because it just so happened, I happen to just know somebody who is like close to them, you know what I mean? Like to Gianna now, like his daughter, I still in contact with her. When I go up, she had a birthday party in Atlanta. You know what I'm saying? I went to her birthday party, went to the White House well, like, I FaceTime them, like, often, whenever she around my man who I know, like, so it's different from me just to speak on a situation, like, so in a time of, like, uproar about that situation, I took upon myself to just speak on the whole thing, because I ain't just, like, make a George Floyd song,
mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying? I mentioned, like, what kind of happened in the song a little bit, but it was, like, a whole thing. It wasn't just like that incident, because it's like way bigger than that incident. Not saying that incident is not bigger than each other incident, but it's like a whole thing. So that was my chance to just like speak on the whole thing.
How many people would you say you know personally who've been hurt or shot by police?
I don't know, since like middle school, one of my close buddies, like, he got shot in the back by police one time. And from then on, you just like hear it a lot. Like, and not saying it's normal, or it's like but it's not a worldwide uproar, so it's not as deep. Because a lot of people, like in the marches and stuff, they was marching for like George Floyd, but that was their time to march for their people. Like, and those marches I went to, it was a lot of people who in Atlanta, who families was like trying to get their justice for their people and stuff like that.
Yeah. This song, as you say, it comes out of your entire life experience of people you knew. It's not
right, not just like I seen it happen, blew, and I went in there and made a song. It wasn't that. You know, now I seen this happen, I seen the uproar, now it's more easier for me to make a song. Easy. Like, because I already been living like this.
It's wild you educating us about that, because the song resonated really deeply across 2020.
Right.
It's now, I'll tell you my view, it's now part of this living history.
Right.
It's one of the songs, like Marvin Gaye or Bob Dylan, that people are going to be playing years from now, trying to understand what we just went through and where are we going.
Right.
Can I just read a couple of the lines from you?
Definitely.
You say, every video I see on my conscience, I got power, now I got to say something. Corrupt police been the problem where I'm from, but I'd be lying if I said it was all of them.
Right.
Why was it important to you to also speak to the nuance, the gray?
Right.
Because you know everybody knows a lot of these things. Sometimes they become just completely one-sided or black and white.
Right.
But you're going out of your way to say this police brutality is wrong, and then you say it's not all of them.
Right. Because even I done been through the system. Like, it ain't all of them. Some, you can have a group of six of them that stop you and two of them just tripping. Like, four of them might be cool. The other two might be tripping. They might be like a brotherhood or whatever. They got to go with them. But they don't really don't be all on. You know, it's like anything. Everybody ain't going to be bad. Like, with anything. Like, everybody ain't. Some people, some of them got good heart. Some people, it's just like life, period. Some people got good hearts. And some people, police, them ain't the ones that. But then I just like, some people will just be on like I'm on like fuck police, period, and I ain't on that.
Mm.
You feel me? It's like the ones who ain't on, who not right, cause it's they there for a reason. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like when it's meant for someone to go to jail, or you know, they good then. Somebody breaking your house, you calling the police. You know, so it's not like a fuck the police situation. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But it's like we're talking about the corrupt side, and that's not all of them.
And so you said with the Floyd family, you went to the White House.
Right.
You talked to Vice President Harris.
Right.
How did that go?
It went perfect, actually. And I just was going just to go, honestly. I didn't even go to talk to nobody or nothing. But it was like a chance that I wasn't going to turn down. Like, I turned down a lot of stuff. Like,
I bet.
Maybe you want to do this? I'm like, nah. You want to go to the White House? I'm like, yeah, I'm going.
Yeah, you're going to go to that.
Like, definitely.
You're very humble about it.
Right.
Right? You're not flexing on it.
Right.
What did you think of Vice President Harris? I mean, she's the first woman of color to ever be at that level in the White House.
She's an amazing woman. You know, like, even then, like, you would be a thinking president and everything when you from, like, being younger, because, like, you see it on TV, and it's like a myth. It's like it's on news, you know. It's just, but just like me being a big rapper, everybody regular people.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like I'm sitting down with a regular person, and she talking like a regular person. Everybody regular people. You know what I mean? We had, like, a regular conversation.
That's wild. So where do you see yourself going on this? I mean, you're 26 now.
Yes, sir.
You have this influence.
Yes.
You've got a level now where you've got politicians in your own city, who want any little baby, and you've said you're gonna do what you're doing, speaking through your art. But I mean, there was the story of a DA.
I am in the country. It was a lady in the White House. I was sitting at the table. She's a black girl. I hate I can't say her name. I want to say her name. I can't think of her name. She was like, that little baby. Then somebody, she asked somebody, like, that little baby? I'm like, yeah. They was like, yeah. And then she's like, how you get here? She's like, how you get in here? She's like, I done tried to reach out to you like 6-7 times, and like, so you could come to the White House. Like,
oh, wow.
Like several times. You was like, you ain't trying to be no politician. You hear me? Like, but I came for a different reason this time. Like, it was like that was one of the times where, like, all right, I'll go. And, like, I stand with that, you feel me? But I don't want to go and try to, like, sell myself, you feel what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
like I'm trying to get something out of it. You know, I went on, on the backstage one. Like I was saying, like, I'd rather go on the backstage with the crew who the cameras was on wasn't on me. I slipped and got on camera one time, but nobody never knew I was there. I went for a back end experience. You feel me?
Versus going. Well, you know, we're calling that now.
What?
We're calling that little baby grandma vibes.
Yeah.
you just go at the back of the White House.
You feel me? Go in the back. You feel me? You don't gotta be like, even though I'm somebody and I could be have a full press around what I got going on. That's when they take it like kind of.
Well, that's facts. I mean, so when we cover the White House.
Right.
A lot of people, and I'm not judging, but a lot of people, they're doing what they're doing.
Right.
They go in, and then we set up mics outside.
Right.
And they come out to the mic and talk.
Yeah, I could have spoke to the mic. They like, you want to speak? I'm like, no. I just stand right there.
Yeah.
I listen. You know, I just want to be a part of it. You feel me?
Like, yeah.
Just like, that's something I could tell my kids about later. And they'll understand. I could like really speak on it, and like I actually got a chance to do this. Like that was one of those chances why I kind of enjoyed it from the back versus like going with, I went with them like solo.
Yeah.
Like, I went with their family and their securities and their everything. I had like my security like in the back, like trailing us far back, but I went with them. It was like better to go with them than how I would have been on my expense. Not even expense, like me being the main target or like the highlight of the day. Like, if it was like a little baby trip to the White House versus so everybody, my team would have been on it. My team didn't even really know I was going there.
Wow.
It's like on a weekday. And
yeah.
You had to like send in and get approved. I told like one or two people, I'm going to the White House. And I went with them.
That's wild. Yeah. I want to ask you about Lil Baby, the business person.
Right. Lil Baby, he really not business person. He's like Dominique. Lil Baby the face.
All right, Lil Baby the face.
Dominique,
the businessman.
For sure.
So, still no tattoos, you say?
Right.
Because you said from a young age you didn't want to be tatted going into the business meetings.
At a young age, I was on like a hustler level, but I was always on I'm only going to hustle to get me something going on in the world. And I know when I try to get me something going on in the world, I don't want, like, tattoos. And
And we talked about what a big artist you are right now.
Right.
But you're already moving into signing other artists. Why?
Well, that was something that actually was forced on me, but I'm happy I did it, because it went from, like, I feel like it's enough money in a rap game for whoever rapping. As long as it sounds good and people can vibe to it, it's enough money here for it. And so I promote people, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And the way in time it is now, certain promotion, it could change a person's life. So then labels will, like, reach out to people and give them deals or whatever. But they the same deals I could give somebody.
Right.
So then it was like, I might as well just start me a label. Instead of just, like, sending these boys out there to just do anything, like, they can come with me, and I'm going to show them the way I'm doing it. And I'm an artist, so I'm learning it firsthand.
Do you think artists are better off having an artist behind them instead of an executive?
No, never.
No?
I don't think so. But ain't too many artists with, like, executive mind frame.
Right.
They might do it for a check or do it the whatever the reason may be. But a lot of people, and that's why a lot of artists don't do it, because they don't even got time to even try to think like that.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't, but an artist that do got executive mind frame, it can work, and it's worked for several artists.
So is there someone that you look up to that's the type of person you'd want to become in 10 or 20 years in business?
Yeah, a lot of people. A lot of people. I meet new people every day. Like, I meet the owners of places now.
Yeah.
You feel me? So now I meet the owners.
Yeah.
And now it's like a different level of what you want to be like in the world.
Your appetite and your ambition is affected by what you see, who you meet.
Who I see and who I meet and what I know now, because a lot of stuff you don't know. It's not in your head. You don't know that he owns all this or he owns this or you don't even know about it, so it's not in your head.
So something I do with artists, I like to do a lightning round where I'll read a name and you tell me in a word or a sentence your reaction. Drake.
The Boy.
Lil Durk.
Smirk.
Okay.
Boy, Smirk.
Meek Mill.
Man, Meek got a different kind of bun. Like, I mess with Meek on another level. Even the names like Durk, you naming like the names who people I got like vibes with, like, man, Dirk got a special bun. Man, me got a definitely special bun.
Mm-hmm.
Man, Drake got a screaming special bun.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. You said they name. I said like they names what people around them call them. I'm kind of like cool with them. So it's like, that's what come to my mind. Drake, I'm like the Boy. Like, I know they call him that.
Yeah. That's what they call him.
It's like they call him Smirk. You feel me? It's the ones around him. You feel me? So it's like, that's what come to my head.
Although
them.
Drake did say, now the Boy is the man.
For sure. Man. Definitely the man. Yeah.
What about Young Thug?
Slime.
I'm thinking of that other generation, Jay-Z.
I call him Jay-Z.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Just like, respect.
Definitely.
Diddy.
Diddy. Man, Diddy cool, too.
Yeah?
Like, I chop it up with Diddy.
Like, yeah?
On the behind the scene level, like, we chop it up all the time. Like, I definitely fuck with Diddy.
And what do you think of someone who is in town right now, Kanye West?
Yeah, I like Ye's style. I like the way he know how to play it.
When he played you on one of those tracks at the listening event, did you know that was going to happen?
I mean, I knew I was going to be on the album.
Mm-hmm.
I was hoping I was going to be on the album. We made a song a long time ago. Well, he was telling me, he already told me, like, I'm going to be on the album. But I didn't know, like, what songs he was playing, like, if he was going to play the real album or play songs that wasn't going to be on the album, so I really didn't know.
When did you guys first record that?
I think maybe a year ago?
Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
And how'd you guys link up?
He flew me to Wyoming. I went to his house.
So you were out in Wyoming?
Yeah.
What was that like? Did that make you, you talked earlier about owners, did that make you think, oh, maybe I need a big farm?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. How could it not?
Yeah.
And we had to drive down. Like, it's levels, you know?
Yeah.
Definitely, it's like, anything I see, I only got to see it one time. It's going to make me get on it. Like, yeah, I got to get on that.
Yeah.
Feel me? Even not just, like, exactly this, but I'm just saying this, the mind frame. He had a studio and his workshop in the same room. You know what I mean? We're going to close the studio. like in the same way, like definitely tie your mind up. That's why I'm like open to like chilling with certain people. Certain people I don't want to chill with them because I don't even want to see certain stuff. Mm-hmm. But some stuff I intrigue my mind. Mm-hmm. Like definitely.
So as we kind of wrap up some of the big picture questions, if you will, to echo you, is there anything you've learned on this recent journey, these last 4 years, that you wish you knew when you started?
Everything. I come from a, what they call a trap. You hear me?
Trap.
And it's really a trap. That's why they call it a trap. Yeah. Like, you be trapped. You don't know a lot of stuff. You know what goes on inside the trap. So in these 4 years, I've been outside the trap, and now I'm in the world. So it's like, if I knew any of this a long time ago, I could go a whole lot of routes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so everything.
What do you say to somebody who looks up and thinks, it happened fast for him?
Right.
You work very hard, and the people around you speak to everything you do, and anyone listening to you can see the humility and the grace that you bring to even success.
Right.
But what do you say to someone who goes, man, well, for a little baby, you know, he knew the people, and then he started rapping, and immediately he blew up. It's not fair. What do you say to them?
It got to be like, but I'm rapping about my lifetime. You feel me? So I'm rapping a lifetime. This stuff that I've been doing has been going on for 20-some odd years. So it's like, that's what I'm rapping about. I ain't rapping about what I just thinking about and just start rapping overnight. I'm rapping about experience for over 20 years. Like, I could have been rapping probably and talking about whatever I'm talking about, but now I'm rapping about it 20 years later, like in the process of 20 years. So that's what I be telling people too. You can know them same people, but you gotta be like that kind of person. I kind of already was that kind of person. That's why people told me to rap. Now, if a lot of people tell you to rap, I advise you to rap because it'll work. You hear me? If they see whatever people saw in me and you and they telling you that, do it.
So what's interesting about your answer is you're saying that if somebody asks that, the premise of the question is wrong. That they're thinking, you did this today, so it was fast.
Right.
But what you did today was share, in a way that people find authentic,
a
the
life
person
story.
You become over 20 plus years. You so you're actually sharing yourself.
I'm sharing myself. Yeah. It's got to be you. I ain't. This me what I'm selling. You hear me?
Yeah.
If you just want to be a rapper and then you want to just rap like Lil Baby, you ain't selling you. You now you going to a different lane. I don't know if that's going to work. How it worked for me in 4 years.
Right.
I don't know that many people who it worked for like it worked for me. Especially in this short time frame. Right.
And what's motivating you and inspiring you for the next work? We talked about sharing your life. We talked right. about speaking on issues and policing and right. real things you've lived through. What's inspiring you now?
Still my life. Mm-hmm. It's an ongoing process. It's just the same situations. Like, it's life still. I just rap about my life. I rap about life, what's going on. That's how I can stay afloat and stay, like, hot. Or, like, keep something. Once you get off what's going on, it kind of be over with for you. As long as you can get into tune of what's going on, what everybody's saying, what everybody wearing, you all right.
Makes sense. It seems like it's still your turn.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Lil Baby, thank you for sitting down with me. I really appreciate it.
Appreciate you, man. Thanks for having me.